Alright, hey everyone, this is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT LPFM 102.7 and 103.9 on the air, coming at you live from beautiful, gorgeous, the center of the universe, Idaho Springs, Clear Creek County, Colorado. And it is a fantastically gorgeous day, as it always is up here. Yep. And you think so, Glenn?
Yes, I do.
All right.
You're right on.
Oh, thank you. I always love to be reinforced or invalidated. That's important. Small ego, you know, yeah. Like that. Yeah. So, hey, everyone. Yeah, and this is Jerry. And this is The Rabbit Hole. And today is April, I think, 8th. It's the 8th. Thank
April
you.
8th.
Yeah, April 8th. And so, we're going to have a back-to-back conversations here, and some pretty powerful ones. So looking forward to that, back at that in a minute. But before we move into our conversation here, I do want to thank all the sponsors, because without community sponsors like Tommy Knockers and all the rest, community radio like this would not be possible. So I want to say thank you to our sponsors, the members of the community. This particular hour, I am bringing you Jerry Fabianic, and I'm an author, and I've written a book, Sisyphus Wins. And, so if you want to learn more about that, you can go to my website, jerryfabianic.com, and take a look at that. And I'm pretty excited because I just redesigned the cover, too, on it. I was finding something out, Glenn, that when you say Sisyphus and someone looks at that, you know, if you're well-versed in Greek mythology or, right. You know, literature, most people know or get it right away. And, but if not, then people go like, you know, well, who's Sisyphus? And I tell them, and I say, but if I tell you what he did, you'll probably get it. And the vast, vast majority of times when I tell them and say, how about, do you ever hear the story about the guy who has to push the rock up the mountain for eternity? And as soon as I say that, they get it. And I said, okay, so I need some clarification on my cover. So that's all been part of the fun self-publishing process there to say, okay, what works here? And what, you know, where's the confusion as I'm talking to people here? And then go back, regroup, and say, hey, I'm going to fix this up a little bit too. So anyway, huge learning experience for me. So, all right, enough about that, and let's talk. Hey, and in the studio with me right now is my old dear friend, Glenn Wallace. Glenn, welcome.
Thank you, Larry, Jerry.
And you and I go back a few years.
Oh, yes, we do.
All right.
You bet.
Yeah, you're my mentor. You always introduce yourself as the community rabble-rouser, and I go, I want to be just like him, which is very convenient because then I get to blame everything on you. You know,
that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
There you go.
Know, I'm used to taking bruises.
You too, huh? No, that's great. You know, so
I've learned to duck. So fortunately, I don't have any black eyes.
Yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, you know, I think it was Hillary. Is you know, it doesn't matter how many times you're hit; it's how many times you pick yourself back up.
That's right.
Then you just come back at it and at it. And we were talking off air earlier about never give up, never give up, never, never, ever give up.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about that in context of a personal situation you have here. Mm-hmm. And let's be right up front with it, Glenn. You've been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
That's correct. In March of about 2014, both Robin and I, Robin is my wife, began to realize that I was having difficulty doing tasks that used to be done easily. We discussed this with our primary care physician, and he had me answer questions to determine if I had dementia, which is kind of the opening step or opening thing of Alzheimer's and other diseases. And the results showed that I had what's called mild cognitive impairment. And about 4 months to maybe almost a year later, we connected with a geriatrician who treats old people like me. And he was also a neurologist who tested me further and affirmed that I did have Alzheimer's disease. And So my topic really is about how Alzheimer's disease affects me. Mm-hmm. My first reaction was when I learned that I definitely had Alzheimer's, and was sorrow to have this curse, which quickly changed to anger and finally to acceptance. And since there wasn't anything else I could do, I have it and must live with it. But I vowed to do everything in my power to fight it. It is a curse that disrupts our lives because we lose our ability to remember information, people, places, and things. And when you can't remember those things, you're going to be struggling mightily. Mm-hmm. So I fight back with all my might by learning more. I decided I'd fight back with all my might by learning more about Alzheimer's disease at the UC Medical Anschutz Center and the Alzheimer's Association. I volunteered for a clinical trial so that I could possibly help myself and others. Robin, my wife, and I attended Memory Cafe meetings with other victims and their caretakers to talk with others about their experiences. And this has proved very helpful to realize that the details of others' experiences may be quite different from mine. Mm-hmm. And the details of others' experience might be quite difficult from mine, yet the underlying reality of having Alzheimer's is always there. Mm-hmm. There are many purported drugs that claim to cure Alzheimer's, but they are scams. This has proved very helpful to realize... a possible solution may appear in the next 2 or 3 years, but it is not here yet. I am determined to never, never, ever give up.
Yeah, and so I went at first. It's a talk about now. You mentioned dementia.
Yes.
And so my understanding is dementia is the broad area in which memory loss is occurring, and it can be in a variety of ways expressed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And a specific one is Alzheimer's.
Right.
So thank you, Robin, for sending information as well. And Robin was to join us, and she wasn't able to. So she sent me some information that would help me be a little more. So I went to I'm at the Alzheimer's website, and for our listening audience, it's ALZ.org, and I'm looking under, so dementia is a more broad form, but Alzheimer's, they say, is the most common form of dementia, a general term for memory loss and other cognitive abilities serious enough to interfere with daily life. And Alzheimer's disease accounts for 60% to 80% of dementia, so the vast majority of folks diagnosed with dementia are diagnosed with Alzheimer's. It says that Alzheimer's is not a normal part of aging. The greatest known factor is increasing age, and the majority of people with Alzheimer's are 65 and older. But Alzheimer's is not just a disease of old age. Approximately 200,000 Americans under the age of 65 have younger onset Alzheimer's disease. And I have an experience of that myself. I had a high school friend who was diagnosed, he was in his early 60s. Mm-hmm. And and we know that Alzheimer's worsens over time. And right now you mentioned about there not being a cure for that. Glenn, are you aware, or do you know if there's a proclivity, is there usually a genetic type of thing? It can strike anybody. What's your understanding of who's at risk?
Well, Jerry, it is in part, not necessarily always, but it is genetic. I had an uncle who also developed Alzheimer's late in his life.
Okay.
And then neither of my brothers or other members of the family came down with it, but I did.
Are they older than you or younger? Or?
All about the same ages.
Okay.
They were, my uncle that came down with it was older than I was.
Okay.
But, you know, it can come whenever.
Yeah.
I came down with it in about 2004 when I was, 2004, how old was I? I was about 60-something.
Hmm.
70-something. Okay. About 70.
Was it 2004 or 2014?
2004.
Okay. Okay. So you were you've been diagnosed for some years now.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And I think, and for many of us, probably one of the most famous people who was diagnosed and eventually died from that was our former president, Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
And there was some question, you know, in his later years of his presidency, and that's when Iran-Contra, not to get into that debate there, but that when he says, I can't remember, that he generally might not have remembered.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
You know, so, and then how it impacts people, and it kind of, you know, starts to advance slowly. So when you were first diagnosed and when you were saying about the anger and so forth, what struck me, I think, I can never remember her name exactly, but Kubler-Ross, she came up with the six stages of grief, mm-hmm. and usually it refers to death, but it really refers to any type of loss,
right?
And depowerment. And I think their first one is like denial.
Mm-hmm.
And you accepted it right away, or did you, you know, you said like you eventually moved to anger and acceptance, or,
right.
You know, or I should say, did you deny it right away, not accept it? But
no, it would be hard for me to deny it because my wife and I both observed it, and I knew that something was wrong. So
what were some of the signs? You say you observed, she observed it, Robin did too. What were some of the...
Well, the main sign, Jerry, was that, you know, tasks, jobs, situations that I used to be able to handle effectively without, mm-hmm. you know, without even, you know, just as a matter of course, suddenly became difficult. I couldn't do them.
Physical, psychological, mental, I should say? Both?
Both, because I couldn't remember, and one of the main complaints that Robin, who's my caretaker, she complained that I couldn't remember things, mm-hmm. But she knew that I shouldn't be able to remember them. Mm-hmm. There were factual things that we had done together, and so she knew in the past that I was able to remember them, and then all of a sudden I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and when she presented that information to you, was that like, yeah, you're right, or no? Did you still kind of resist that, or said no? I mean, I'm just curious on that because the reason I'm asking these questions, mm-hmm. Glenn, because our listening audience, if there's someone in the family,
yeah.
or a friend, and there's some subtle, they're not telltale signs necessarily, they're obvious ones, but there's yeah. some subtle ones that start leading up. And that's, you know, I appreciate you coming in and talking about this.
Well, that's part of the anger factor. Mm-hmm. You know, she would tell me, well, you know this. And I says, well, no, I don't. And so we would have that argument. She says, well, you should know it. Well, should and doing is two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we went around and around about that for quite some time, and that's something that really got me angry because, you mm-hmm. know, I'm not doing this on purpose.
Right.
You know, I don't like it either.
Sure. Yeah. And your life. And so you went and saw the professionals, and
yeah.
eventually it was diagnosed.
Right.
And once the diagnosis was there,
yeah.
and it brought clarity, if you will,
yeah.
To what situation, what was your reaction at that point?
Well, pretty much acceptance. I mean, what else are you going to do? Mm-hmm. I mean, It's a fact of life, fact of my life anyway. Mm-hmm. And I just had to cope with it as best I could.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. It's not easy at all. No part of it is easy.
What's the challenge in that regard? I mean, you know, not only in day-to-day life, but are there others that kind of indicate to you that you're losing power, control, things like that, over your life?
Well, you know, and that's one of the somewhat strange things about my situation with Alzheimer's is that my mind still functions pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't lost my ability to use language and communication, but I just forget to communicate, and that's again a major thing that bugs the heck out of my poor wife. Mm-hmm. Because she says, "Well, why don't you don't communicate well?" I says, "Well, you're right. I know I don't, mm-hmm. But I don't think about communicating. It doesn't come quickly to my mind.
Okay.
My mind kind of lags behind what a normal person's mind would do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like things that she and I had done together. Well, she knew that I knew about it, but I couldn't recall it, you know, on the spur of the moment, because I had forgotten about it.
Right. And it could be like, and we know each other through the Democratic
yes.
Party,
yes.
and we're both, you know, progressives in our, and I've seen your work in the paper,
yes.
Letters to the Editor. Mm-hmm. Would this be, you decide you want to write a letter to the editor on some
right.
topic, and you're perfectly fine rationalizing it, writing it out.
Right.
But then you might forget to send it or something. Is that there, or, you know?
No, usually when I get into a process, I try to see it to completion.
Okay.
Because when I go to the my method of writing is to first draft it out in longhand,
mm-hmm.
usually longhand or print, and then I'll get on the computer and type it up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's changes that take place between my handwritten copy and my typed copy.
Okay.
And then I might even go through one more version before I get it the way I want it. So that's my process.
And you're able to do that effectively still.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you came in, we were talking about, to get into specifics, but the situation of late here with Justice Gorsuch and
yeah.
you know, soon to be Justice Gorsuch.
Yeah.
Well,
no, he's been appointed.
He's been, well, he's not sworn in yet. So he'll when he's sworn in, he'll be justice. And,
oh,
you know,
okay.
But at any rate, so we were talking about that, and you're very cognitive. You know the
yeah.
facts, the statistics, everything, you know, and the key players and understood why different people took certain positions and everything
right.
there too.
Yeah.
So that aspect of your mental capability is not compromised. That's
no.
there. But other it shows up in other ways.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how, okay, and I'm going to, you know, this might not be fair, but because I'm going to ask you in a way to speak for Robin, you know, that,
oh, okay.
you know, she's your caretaker now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, once you got past a hurdle, you know, you're having this argument earlier, you know, some
sure.
years ago, okay, and she's, but you should remember, and then the diagnosis comes in,
mm-hmm.
how does that shift for her, and what does she do?
Well, she still works hard at trying to get me to take responsibility to the extent that I can.
Mm.
And she thinks that I should take more responsibility than I feel that I'm able initially.
Mm.
And now I am slowly learning to accept more responsibility. But it doesn't come quick, mm-hmm. because my mind just doesn't grasp the need quickly, mm-hmm. and I kind of I'll give you an example. I've got about 7 drugs that I take on a daily basis, mm-hmm. Related to Alzheimer's, one of them is not necessarily related to Alzheimer's, but it's related to blood pressure and that. Mm-hmm. So I still need to do it. But she, for years, last several years, is every day she would lay out all these pills that I have to take. Mm-hmm. It's about 7 or 5... 5 at night and about 3 in the morning. 3 in the morning, 5 at night. Or thereabouts, give or take. And so she used to lay all those out for me. And recently, she didn't do that. And so I thought, gee, you know, she hasn't laid out my pills. And so I thought, well, damn, I guess I better take responsibility and do it myself. Mm-hmm. And I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so bit by bit, she's kind of driving me into taking more and more responsibility.
Why?
Well, because she thinks that I should be, she wants me to be able to do it.
Right.
You know, I think she's right. I have to admit, she's, you know, I'm a blessed man. I married a woman that's smarter than I am, and I'll be the first to admit it.
Oh, and that's saying a lot because you're a very brilliant man. But I think what we want to do is look at this idea of responsibility. Mm-hmm. First of all, there's just that ethical or philosophical behavioral thing that we should be responsible for our own actions. That's
right.
One thing. Yeah. But there's also the process.
Yes.
Because if you have like someone has Parkinson's or some other muscular type of disability there, and so their therapy is physical movement.
More, yeah.
Seems to me your therapy is more mental.
Yes,
stimulation,
absolutely.
Movement.
Absolutely.
And then remembering my pills, not only which ones, how many, and the colors of them or whatever it is, to remember it and go and do that, and to do that on a schedule, that entails several psychological or mental processes.
It sure does, yes. Mm-hmm. And to me, for a long time, I just felt overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, I was just overwhelmed. I don't know what the heck. What can I do? You know. Mm-hmm. And so, oftentimes I would do the wrong things, mm-hmm. and Robin would tell me about, well, you shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I thought I was doing well, but mm-hmm. she corrected me. Mm-hmm. And finally. I'm starting to grasp more and more, I think, what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I'll start making less mistakes. That's all I can hope.
That's what Robin's hoping too. And then why? Because I think also what this ties into, Glenn, is mm-hmm. just what's true about all people, that it's a sense of empowerment.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have a stage 4 cancer of some sort, and there's no known cure, I had a friend who had a glioblastoma, and you know, 2 operations, and you know, 13 months later he dies. Okay, that sort of stuff there, and that sense of I no longer can't control what's happening to me. Mm-hmm. And 2 aspirins or a shot of penicillin is not going to do the trick.
Right.
Okay. So it gets into personal empowerment. So going back to then just that simple thing of taking your meds on a regular basis and everything, it seems to suggest that that's a way of personal empowerment,
sure,
which strengthens you and gives you more confidence.
Yes, absolutely.
I would think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then to power forth, you know, into more,
mm-hmm,
and feeling more that maybe I can take on this other task.
Right.
Okay. And so therefore live a fuller life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, earlier today I worked with Frank Young from Open Space Commission, and we took possession of the lands that we just bought on the north side of Highway 40,
mm-hmm,
and I-70. So,
mm-hmm,
and I was able to help him. You know, we both worked together, and we put up signs. And
very nice.
Yep.
Yeah, so, and that's stuff you love to do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're still vested in that then.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So, what, and I want to also get into support groups, et cetera, there, mm-hmm, but to kind of bring a little bit of closure to this end here, what do you suggest, first of all, if someone has a inkling, suspicion, or something like that, that someone in their family might be starting to experience dementia, and it could potentially be Alzheimer's.
Right.
What are some of the clues, signs that it would come up on a regular basis?
Well, first of all, if they have any suspicion whatsoever that they might have dementia or cognitive impairment, is to get tested. Do that right away. Don't mess around, because the earliest that you can detect it and start getting treatment for it, the better off you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's the primary thing that you must do.
So early intervention.
Early intervention.
Okay.
Yeah, right away. Yeah, get right on it.
Okay.
Don't pitter-patter around thinking, oh, maybe it'll go away. If you have any suspicion whatsoever, check it out.
Okay. And then, and certainly we mentioned the website, we'll come back to that again, alz.org.
Yes. Right.
Who then, you know, like, what are the resources out there to help people?
You know, there's a host of them. There really are. You know, it's obvious that, you know, this is going to be affecting you know, a good majority of older Americans, men in particular, but women too. Women get Alzheimer's, mm-hmm, as well. And so you need to look at all the resources available, and here in Colorado, our best one is the Anschutz Medical Center, from the University of Colorado. And then the Alzheimer's Association, and the facilities that they have. Those are probably the two best sources of getting good information and getting help.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, mm-hmm, go for them.
Mm-hmm. And that's in the larger. How about more locally? Care?
Our county nurse, I forget her name now, right off.
Cindy Dixon? Dickinson? Or Laura Robertson? There's a couple.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
One of those.
Okay.
Probably. Your county nurse is another good source of information to kind of get you on the way, and that's local. Let's see. Those are a good source to,
mm-hmm,
to initially, mm-hmm, make contact with.
Mm-hmm. And for you personally, now you earlier when we opened up the program, you were talking about some of the things you're doing. This is one right now, and thank you so much. To me, it's very courageous of you to come on and talk about this in a very public way to raise awareness.
Yes.
And, you know, so people, What are other forms you're doing, you know, to raise awareness and maybe just do your own therapy, if you will? Is there some things you do to, you know, kind of practice a little?
Well, more? Yeah. One of the things that I try to do is exercise my mind to the extent that I can. And what I use do is Sudoku.
Oh.
Whenever I get a Sudoku that I think I can probably be successful with,
yeah,
I print it out of the newspaper, and the Canyon Courier is wonderful. They have the best Sudokus.
Oh, very nice.
So, Ian Neely, way to go, editor. because I get those, and I struggle with them, and see if I can master it.
Very nice.
And the nice thing about the Courier is that, or Current, not the Courier, the Current.
Clear Creek Current.
Is okay. That he not only has the Sudokus, but he also has the response, the answers.
Right.
And so you can check it and work your way through it a lot easier when you can peek ahead and check out that. See if mm-hmm. your answers look like they're the right one.
Heading in the right direction.
Headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
So, I'm really happy about that. That's great.
Yeah, and I think in a general sense, because, you know, we're all aging.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a good friend. I just turned 67 a short time ago, and he turned 66 a mm-hmm. week or two ago. So we got together last night, and he had texted me right on his birthday. I texted him a happy birthday, and he says, "Holy cow." He says, "I woke up and said, holy crap, I'm 66. And I said, "Well, the great thing is you woke up."
Yeah.
After that, it's commentary. Okay. So that, you know, right there, you got it, you know, right there. And we talked about it. And I said, Pat, I said, we're old. We have to accept that.
Yep.
We're not, you know, the 70s and new 80 or 70s new 60 or however they put it. No. You know, you're 60-something, you're 70-something. That's what you are. Yeah. And, you know, so we have to understand that and accept it mm-hmm. and, you know, and bless it
yeah.
for what it is. But, you know, what you're talking there about the Sudokus, Sudokus, right? I can never say that right. Because it's funny because I'm a word person.
Uh-huh.
And I got excited, you know, because one of my exercises mentally is read, 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 but also the New York Times crossword puzzles. Uh-huh. Especially when you get to the end of the week. And yesterday, I nailed it. I got 100%.
Wow.
And today, I was working at it, and it was a fun one. And see if you can get this. Okay. The clue is red square, and it has about 13 letters. About. Red square. What's the first connotation? If I say red square, what comes to mind for you?
Well, Russia.
Moscow.
Moscow.
Exactly. So, well, now you know New York Times crossword puzzles, and you say it's not the obvious one. Mm-hmm. So think of a board game that has a red square. Hmm. And it deals with words and letters.
Words and letters.
And you reach in the box, and you have little tiles. Scrabble.
Scrabble, yes. Okay.
And there's a red square on there.
Uh-huh.
And when you put your word on, you know, and you cover a red square right. with your word, you get a triple word score. And it drove me crazy. I went like, no, okay, it's not Moscow. It has nothing to do with Russia because I know, you know, the trick. And I'm going like, it's Scrabble. It has to be Scrabble. But even at that, even though I got the broader concept,
right.
I'm sure it had something to do with Scrabble. It took me a while to figure out triple word
sure.
score.
Oh, yeah.
And after I got a few cross ones, then it just came together. But back to your point, though,
mm-hmm.
exercising the mind, the
yes.
mental stimulation there, you know, the research shows yeah. that the more we do that, it's like exercising the body.
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's what we just have to keep doing. And so
yeah.
you're doing this, and one of them is through the word puzzle, I mean the number puzzles mm-hmm. and stuff like that. How about physical exercise? Is there any correlation between, like, you're out there putting signs up?
Yeah.
Does that help as well? Is there any studies on that? Do you know?
Well, Supposedly it does. It's hard for me to relate directly to that, mm-hmm. but for years now, I do deep breathing exercises.
Mm. Yeah.
And I do them during the day and at night. In fact, that's how I sleep like a baby, I'll have to admit. You know, most people, older people, sometimes can't sleep well.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I have no trouble sleeping at all. I usually fall asleep within minutes after my head hits the pillow.
Very nice.
But part of my sleeping regimen is to deep breathe, mm-hmm. to keep myself oxygenated.
Right.
And then to prevent snoring, because then I don't sleep with my teeth together. I let my jaw slack,
mm-hmm.
put my tongue behind my lower teeth,
mm-hmm.
and then breathe through my nose primarily,
mm-hmm.
and take deep breaths.
Yeah.
And then let it out slowly, and I do that until I get to sleep.
You know, when you say that, another activity, yoga.
Yes.
Entails that, the deep breathing and the stretches and, mm-hmm. you know, getting into those energetic forms.
I used to do yoga. In fact, years ago, before I met Robin, I was dating a lady that, and we had broken up. I really liked this other lady, but it didn't work out.
Well, it's good, because then you met Robin.
Yeah.
So,
no,
there you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You never know.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
So.
And so, but I was pretty bummed for about a month after she told me to hit the road. And I started doing yoga, and it was good. But then I encountered an inner ear problem, where I'd get nauseous.
Hmm.
Doing anything where my head, you know, if I had to do plumbing underneath a sink,
okay,
I was in trouble. Or if I had to climb under a car to change the oil or something, not right, not good.
So downward dog was not a good pose for you.
No, downward dog was a bummer.
Oh yeah.
I did all right if I was standing up, but boy, downward, no.
Or cobra, you could be lying down and throw your head back.
You know? Yeah, no, that's not good.
Okay.
So you end up with some limitations like that mm-hmm. change your life.
But the principle of it is to stay engaged and do these deep breathing and stuff like that. So physiologically can help impact, mitigate, might be a good word, for the... what's happened, deterioration there of the memory in a way, mm-hmm. And, you know, restoring the blood cells, red blood cells, et cetera, mm-hmm. you know, so keep moving.
Yeah. And then we keep a pretty close eye on our kids and grandkids and that. And I had one grandkid that was getting kind of full of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided that I would kind of put him in his place and so I says, well, okay, let's race.
How old is he, by the way?
He was about five.
Okay.
So. And that wasn't a smart thing for me to do, but because I let him win a couple races to get him overconfident.
Mm-hmm.
And then I outran him.
Mm-hmm.
Left him in the dust.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't have the desired... Well, it may have had the desired effect on him, but it darn near killed me.
Mm.
Yeah, my legs were really sore.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't smart for a 76-year-old man to try and outrun a...
Sometimes we're... still old enough to learn a few lessons here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I
don't try to outrun or outplay a 5-year-old.
Yeah,
well, good. Yeah, on that. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I learned a lot of things the hard way.
Yeah,
seems like most things.
Yeah. Are there groups, outreach groups, that sort of social groups, support groups, anything like that?
Not necessarily for Alzheimer's, but there are outreach groups that are very helpful. In fact, one of the things that I learned and learned early on is trying to think of the name of it. It's a book about communications. Communicating with people who you don't necessarily agree with. The ability to communicate with anybody. Because, you know, let's face it, us Democrats are not the majority in this country.
Well, we might not be the majority in power.
Well,
but
true.
But I believe that, yeah.
But, you know, there's more unaffiliated voters than there are either Democrats or Republicans.
True.
And so, you know, we can't, you know, and we're working at getting public majority.
Mm-hmm.
Robin has the information on that too,
mm-hmm.
since the League of Women Voters.
Right.
But so we need to be able to communicate with all people, not just Democrats, if you're a Democrat.
And it seems to me that the underlying message here is to stay engaged.
Yes, absolutely.
So stay active, stay engaged, and be upfront.
Yes.
Because it's not something to be ashamed of. It's a condition and a disability in some way. Yeah. Okay. It certainly carries a lot of, you know, for the individual, but I know everybody in our term here is our tribe. It's been nothing but embracing, and I'm sure everybody would, no matter what, whether you agree with them or they agree with you politically or not, are still going to be embracing and supportive, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I think that the, you know, it seems that, stay active, stay engaged, and be open about it. And like you said, never, ever, ever give up.
That's right. And one of the groups that I'd like to tout is the a group called, it's a men's discussion group, and it's called the Facts Before Opinions Men's Discussion Group.
Mm.
And it meets on Mondays in Evergreen at the Yellow House. And a great place to meet because they have coffee and great facility, good food, and they're really nice people. But the men's discussion group has we typically have about 15 to 20 people at meetings, each meeting, and they're Republicans and Democrats and unaffiliated people. We all get along. It's all civil discourse.
Good.
And, you know, it's a great way to meet people and, and be able to get along and communicate with people.
Right.
And the other one is the Mountain Area Dems, which is also in Evergreen, that meet at the Methodist Church in Evergreen. And that's a good group.
And it would seem that if someone were, say, a veteran, mm-hmm. you know, staying active with the Clear Creek Veterans Coalition, that sort of stuff. So no matter what your passion is, yours is social, political primarily. Mm-hmm. Others might be environmental, for example, and certainly environment's important to you too. But whatever it might be, is to, even after diagnosis, don't quit.
Don't quit. Mm-hmm. Never, ever.
There you go. Yeah, and because Robin sent a note, and I want to read it. You know, she said to, first of all, if you have any suspect, and we talked about this here, if you have any suspicion, talk to your primary care physician and have him or her do a preliminary test and find a neurologist, a geriatrician, get as much information, help as you possibly can. And I really love this a third one here. She says, take care of yourself.
Yes.
Give yourself a break. It is your choice to accept the diagnosis and make every day count. And we're just talking about here.
Yep.
With your loved one, she is still the same person you fell in love with. And it's just a disease. And the more you know about it, helps.
Yes.
I think it's very sound wisdom there.
Yep.
Yeah. And she points out, and again, the website for Alzheimer's is ALZ.org, simple
ALZ
as all that,
.org, yeah.
And learn more. And even if I would just encourage people, you know, because I've had some experience, you're obviously the closest one to me in a personal level that I'm aware of and know, but I've had others in the past, you know, that I've known. And so I become somewhat familiar with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to just get yourself educated.
Yes.
Do it now, because you just never know.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, someone's, you know, starting to become a little forgetful, whatever. And at first it's frustrating, but then step back, take a deep breath and say, whoa, wait a minute.
Right.
Maybe there are other reasons, causes for this disruption in, you know, we're seeing here.
Right.
Yep. So, Glenn, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you, Jerry. This has been great.
Yeah.
Sure enjoyed this discussion.
Thank you. And we'll need to get back here and we'll talk about the appointment of Judge Gorsuch and and the role of our senator. And you and I could disagree on that one there.
That's all right.
But it really is good. No, it's very courageous of you. I really appreciate that. And I know our listening audience does as well, you know, to see. And I you're modeling exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, understand, accept it,
yep.
But don't give up just by the fact that you accept it doesn't mean you're accepting this finality or whatever.
No, you just don't roll over. You stay up on your feet and keep going one way or the other.
Right on. Yep. And stay engaged, stay active.
Yep.
Yeah, all that good stuff, and get yourself informed.
Yes.
Right on. Okay, everyone, this is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT LPFM 102.7 and 103.9. We're going to take about a 10-minute break,